here from this fantastic canto of the Bhagavatam. And we're looking at Markandeya Rishi, who is in meditation, very absorbed, you can even say self-absorbed, absorbed in the self. And when we say absorbed in the self, it will also be implied absorbed in the super self, the supreme personality of Godhead. Because after all, there's two kshetragyas that we are concerned about. Kshetragya, the first, which is identified in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's teachings, is the individual spirit that recognizes the kshetra, the field of activity. Right? So if you're driving from either this side of the road or that side of the road, you realize, let's say, you determine what is the kshetra known as Nu Ramamriti Da, right? I mean, you're pretty programmed to turn a left if you're coming from this direction, but it's the kshetra that you're concerned about. And in this kshetra, you have the kshetragya, you have their lordships. So we also have the kshetra, which is part of our karmic byproduct. And whether we're proud of it or not, usually most of us are pretty proud at the age of 20 or in our late teens, we're pretty proud of this kshetra, referring to the body. In fact, we are quite aware of the body at that particular stage in our life. And later on, as the decades roll out, said, I wish I wasn't so much aware of this kshetra. I am very much aware of the pains and the pleasures of this kshetra, mostly pains. And I wish I could be, it could be all obliterated. Someday, I will wish the pain would all go away. So then there's the kshetragya number two, or maybe number one. The second kshetragya, or A1, is the paramatma within the heart, also very much aware of the pains and pleasures of this body, and as well as being aware of the pains and pleasures of all other kshetras, all other bodies. Isn't that nice to know that this is one of the powers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifest as the paramatma, super soul, and the heart of the living being, and being aware of not only one singular living entity, but aware of all the plural living entities. It's nice to know that there's a big brother there. And when I say big brother, I mean it in a positive sense. If we look at it in Gatsby's presentation, then it would be a negative, right? Or big brother, no, it's in, what's the novel? It's testing. 1984, that's right. Big brother, that's right. Okay, so Markandeya opens his eyes and he sees something that is not very impressive, and as a result of his observation, he takes a humble position, and he offers his obeisances by putting his head to the floor. So now, we in ISKCON, followers of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, we've all put into practice this offering of obeisance, putting our head to the floor, perhaps also doing the full dandavats, coming down like a stick. I knew one fellow we had in Canada. He was really good at just plopping down, and he would never hurt his head, and I just wondered how he did it. It's like some mystic. He went down like a dandavat, and not no injury whatsoever. Taking humble position, I think it's very much in sync with what was read just this morning about what Prithu observed was, what was his name? The scholar who was promoting Buddhism to some degree?
Durakhan.
Yeah, and he took a humble position before Prabhupada and also bowed down. You know, there's many examples of people bowing down. And some people are refused to bow down, such as in the case of Hiranyakashipu. the Lord appeared before him, and as Narasimha, and he refused to bow down, but he was forced to bow down and do dandavats, but in the upright, I don't know what would you call it, upside down position. It was, and you know, spread across the lap of Narasimha. Narasimha dealt with him like a laptop, and took care of him. But Hiranyakashipu was forced to take a humble position. So it's always good to be ahead of the game. We are all forced when we die. Most people that I have, they die in the horizontal position. Just like sleep, does anybody ever sleep while standing up? Are there some people, but for how long? Not for too long. same thing with when we depart from this world. Most of us take the Vishnu pose. We lie down, and that's it. And then we move on and end up in another body. If we're so lucky to be in the form of a human being, we will end up not being in a horizontal position or vertical position, but kind of curled up, like in the fetal position. Isn't that the way it is? So this is an interesting practice, to take a humble position. If expressed externally, it will have some impact on us internally. Even if we don't feel, I don't feel like taking, offering my respects to such and such, a deity, a personality of some status, spiritually. I just don't feel like it. My mind says no. But if you just go through the mechanics of it, it does bring about some kind of, should bring about some kind of devotional emotion. And if we understand Krishna consciousness properly, as expressed in Sri Chaitanya's Shikshastakam, we will be prepared to offer respects towards all living entities. Be prepared to do so. Even the lowliest creature. Okay. So, just this morning, I had a little extra time, I was looking on my phone, as armadillos. This is the land of armadillos. And what do? They crawl around and they dig deep and they get their grubs and they eat insects and ants and everything like that. So that's one thing. They're not there to offer any kinds of obeisance. That's their food. That's their meal. But for those of us who may see some, humble creature, we're expected to take an even more humble position, to come down to the level of humility. Yeah. So this is an interesting practice. These days, people are very concerned about sitting postures, asanas, and the yoga pose. But I've never, and I've met a lot of yoga teachers, but I have not seen them stress the importance of taking the asana of like offering obeisance, putting their head down to the floor, as a sign of respect towards others, or even towards each other. I haven't seen it. Not so long ago, I was at one of these ecstatic dance programs. Shh, don't tell me. And I was asked to come down and to chant some mantras over the music. So the DJ was doing music, so I'd throw, some mantra in there, and then he'd loop it, and then he'd change the style of the beat, and then I had to sort of change with his mood, his mood swings. And it was a lot of fun. It was really terrific. And at the end of the whole ecstatic dance program, I was asked to also just do a sort of finishing, do a kind of a closure to the whole ecstatic experience that everyone was having. And so I just asked everyone to say, so please follow after me, let's do this yoga asana. will put your right knee down on the floor, and then put your left knee down on the floor. Now take your two hands and slap them down softly, gently onto the floor. Now slide forward. Now repeat after me. Vancha. Kalpa. Etc., etc. And then I watched everyone get up, and they all felt really good. It was almost like it was the best yoga asana they ever experienced. You know? It was a nice pleasure, because the words are so deep and meaningful. It's saying simply that I offer my respects to all others. And Prabhupada explains this so nicely in the Nectar of Devotion. When you are offering obeisance, you're actually giving respect to the Paramatma within the living entity. And I don't know if any of you Prabhus have actually heard about this. I guess he's an evangelical preacher or Baptist or something from the deep south. And he was telling his congregation about something he had learned from his Hindu friend. And what was that? To address each other and salute each other with a namaste. Okay. Have you ever heard that before?
Yeah,
saw it. You were there. Okay, it's on YouTube. So he says, namaste. Namaste, you know, with a fervor. Namaste. So everyone say namaste. But he explained what it means. It means that it's God in the heart. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And so he said that he was impressed with the word and the meaning behind the word, saying that seeing God in all of us, in each and every living being. And he said that if we could see that God is in everyone, there would be less chance of conflict, fighting, and so on like that. So he asked everyone to say it, his congregation. So say namaste!
Namaste.
Say it again!
Namaste.
Hallelujah! Something like that, namaste. So it's showing respect. You know, the R-E-S-P-C-T, Aretha Franklin. Okay, R-E-S-P-C-T. Just a little bit, just a little bit. If people can just crawl with these devotional gestures, you know, just go at it kind of easy and slow, then we will make progress. We will make progress. It's very hard to imagine anybody doing a Hanuman's leap and to just, you know, go over the ocean side, surge over the water, and hit that land, Sri Lanka. It's very hard for any of us to do these superhuman feats. But what we can do is make slow, easy progress. I mean, the idea of crawling, is anybody, we've all been in big cities. What happens at half of the day? Like, the traffic crawls. They call it rush hour, and nobody's rushing. I don't understand the nomenclature of the word. But, you know, it's a matter of getting ahead, moving ahead slowly, like the tortoise and the hare. One time, I was talking in my sleep. I was in the Brahmacharya Ashram. I was talking in my sleep, and I was talking about the tortoise and the hare, apparently. So the Brahmacharya next to me, after the sleep was over, we woke up from Mangal Arati. He said, Bhakti Marg, what was that you were talking about last night? I didn't know what it was. I talking? He said, you were talking about the tortoise and the hare. I said, oh, was that? I didn't even know. I was not even conscious, tortoise and the hare. And I was trying to explain myself, justify talking about the tortoise and the hare. And it didn't, and so I did. Hare didn't have anything to do with Hare Krishna. But what I was able to express was that the tortoise moves at a slow, easy, steady pace, acting very much in the mode of goodness, sattvaguna. I was telling this devotee, Jivan Mukta. And the hare acts in the mode of passion. He is running around, he's moving real fast, hopping all over the place. Then he takes a little break, and just, you know, sometimes not a little break, but a long break. And in the event that they were engaged in this race, the tortoise won the race because he acted in the mode of goodness. He was thoughtful in his steps. You know, every step, just take a step at a time and move along like that instead of some, you know, let's say, mode of passion approach. So the explanation or the purport was won over by the devotee who asked me about it, and I thought, okay, great. That's kind of saved myself there. So if we can see people taking simple approaches towards devotion, we should be very happy. I see signs of it everywhere where I go. More and more people are saying namaste just upon seeing a devotee. They're nodding their head, whereas in the 70s, we would get, you know, a ridiculous, some kind of laughter, or there would be some condescending gesture projected towards us. Am I right about that? Those are the oldies but goldies that are in this room here. And it's true. So some or other, we've gained some kind of respect over the time. Perhaps some of it has to do with that our behavior matches up to the gestures of Dhanavats. What I mean to say is that we've been basically good people. We've been law-abiding. We used to take chances when we were young in our 20s. We did crazy things, obnoxious things, feeling that God is right behind us, Krishna's right there, and whatever, whether we break the law or not, Krishna's going to protect me, right? Those of us who were with, you know, traveling around, Radha Damodar or something like that, we did interesting things. I heard of devotees in the parking lot. They took some sugar water and they just dumped a whole bucket of sugar water on one of the children of God, which was just the members of an organization. They were our contenders in the parking lot. And I, you know, and it was a hot day. Sun was shining, and when you get sticky, and you're probably miles away from your coordinator, who's going to pick you up. So, what do you got to do? Sticky sugar wells, you know. Sweet and sticky. It's not the nicest thing to do. Oh, and there were more obnoxious things that we did, you know. But I can't think of any other examples right now. But over the years, you know, with wisdom kicking in and experience, we have expressed ourselves to be a maturing group of people. And the next generation that's surged from under us, our children, we have imparted some of that wisdom and given some guidance in most cases, right? So we're now a culture that's very full. We could not boast about that before. We were all just young people. There was not an older person around, except for Srila Prabhupada, who was, my God, he was 60 years our senior, or something like that. Yeah, and now we have wonderful layers of Krishna consciousness, wonderful layers of experience, like a fantastic, you know, cake that has layers upon layers and layers and layers. And of course, at the top of the cake is always the best. Am I right about that, Gopal? Isn't the top of the cake? You know, not just sugar or anything. Not just sweets, anyways, right? But generally, at the top, you have this fantastic layered cake, and at the top is the icing, and it's just supposed to be the best. Am I right? Yeah. So at the top is, we can, this story tells us of someone who has reached the top, pretty much, you know, Markandeya Rishi. And he had won the attention of Shiva and his wife. And their purpose in coming was to give attention and recognition and encouragement. You know, acknowledgement is really important. Really, this Leela, which is very simple in of itself, is expressing all about what is Krishna consciousness. When we see someone doing something quite nice that's of a devotional nature, or somebody doing a little tapasya or self-improvement, we should pat them on the back. We should say, that is very good. You know? I just remember one time I was in the kitchen, I was cooking a sabji, and it was with a broccoli, and I made a special sauce with it. And Satsurup Maharaj came to visit, and he had that. And he not only took a second helping, but a third helping. So to know that he took a third helping made me feel so good. Like I was acknowledged somehow, in some subtle way, even though we didn't meet, and he didn't actually come to the point of saying, I really like your subject. Because he was busy. But just that kind of acknowledgement and recognition is what we need to spur on in Krishna consciousness, isn't it? And I remember, say, at least in the old days, if you distributed some books, you'd get a lot of recognition, you know? You might get the Mahaprasadam. Or if someone leads a nice kirtan, hey, man, that was a... whatever, you know? I have one godbrother in Canada, and he said, gee, everyone gets recognition. I just do puja all the time. Nobody ever says, hey, that was a great arti you did, Prabhu. Isn't it true? Hardly anyone who does this ever gets some kind of recognition. But maybe it's a good idea to express with words that I really appreciate the fact that you're steady at what you do in your devotion to Prabhupada and to Krishna. So it really makes your day when someone compliments you for someone. For doing something, just a smallest gesture, a recognition of the smallest gesture could really make a person's day and encourage that person to just take a few extra steps to keep going on. Isn't it like that? So recently, the Raptors won the game. I live in the city of Toronto, and it was the first time a basketball team won outside of the U.S. So the city went nuts, And there was this incredible recognition to the players of the Raptors basketball team. And there was a big parade held on Monday morning. And everyone came out. Most offices just closed down. There was no work for a lot of people. They just came and supported the Raptors like anything. And they were on a double-decker bus. And everyone was going nuts over them. And so on. So people were expressing their appreciation. And I think that they do get a lot of recognition in any event. People who are under the spotlight always get that kind of attention. But what about the regular, humble person who just goes about his or her day and performs their duty, their task within their varna, an ashram? They very rarely get that pat on the back. And yet it is so important. And why is it that we do not, let's say, insert that into our overall sort of, culture? What is our apprehension? Why aren't we doing it? People will certainly be much more productive when you get a little bit of attention. Isn't it so? Just takes a little bit of effort. Say, that was great what you did. I love the way you walk.
Whatever.
and it goes a long way. So our best example of this was Srila Prabhupada himself, who gave recognition. Sometimes it came in a sour way, as the saying goes, Prabhupada would give the sauce. But that also, he gave recognition. I can remember being in the parking lots in the States, and sometimes there were people who would actually give, they would just walk by and just in a very snooty way, wouldn't even recognize your presence there. But then there were the people that would stop and say, no, I don't believe in what you're doing, you know. And you basically said, hey, thanks for the recognition. It's like one of my friends, he said that there was this man and he was a beggar and he went to a rich man's house. And he knocked on the door, and was hoping he would get some reciprocation in some way, shape, or form, either his food or his coins. So the man on the other side of the door, the rich man, just refused to honor the request. He just slammed the door. So the beggar came another day, and with the expectation that maybe the heart will change of the rich man's, you know, position. And then he, so it happened again. The door slammed down. It went up repeatedly. So the rich man thought, let me see what I can do about this scoundrel that keeps coming to my door. So he had some ashes, you know, a bowl full of ashes. And the beggar came, knocked on the door. The door opened, and the rich man threw the ashes all over the beggar. And he said, hey, thanks for recognizing me. I really appreciate it. The door did slam. So a little bit of acknowledgement goes a long way, right? So in our in the context of our everyday life as devotees, we are very well trained to show honor and respect to the deities, to Srila Prabhupada, the deities, maybe our favorite devotee. What about the devotee that wasn't so nice to me? Perhaps I should go that extra little inch to offer respect to that devotee. And, you know, we call this, we have a name for it. It's called kanishta, kanishtic, that kind of behavior. I draw lines of distinction. I say, this is good and that is bad. But if we adopt to the more to the philosophy of Prahlad Maharaj, who said, no one is my friend, no one is my enemy, we're all